Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible says, "He fret not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." And isn't that what he's calling these people to do? Isn't he saying to them, he's called you out of darkness to show forth his praises. It's going to be hard. I know it was tough. If need be, you're in hard times right now and heaviness. He says, but God's there. And he's saying, you know, hope to the end for the grace of God that's going to be brought to you because you're in leanness. You're going to see grace in your own life like you've never seen it before because you're going to really need him, you know, in affluence and in prosperity and in everything being in its place. We don't need him as much. And yet all of a sudden, you know, if you need that jet ski to get to the other side of the lake and it just happens to be there and you're going to go help someone. It's like, wow, I never ride this thing, but here it is. Let's go. And it's good. God is good. God is there. Let's go. Amen. We're in it now. And so we need to ride. We need to do what we need to do. We're called for this purpose. The Bible says he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And if you think things are hard, they might be. But the Bible says that our light affliction, which endures but for a moment, works for us a far greater weight of glory. We've had a few people in our congregation that have passed away. And many of us who know them well can remember all of the subtle looks that they had with each other as couples, like Helen and Jim. Helen and Jim. Jim was always a snicker guy. You know, he's like, oh, find a strong chair. He always had a little thing. It was just like anything he would say. It was like these things. Where do you get these witticisms from the South? And you just love to hear them. Guess what? Helen and Jim are together. And it's a good time. And they're just enjoying everything they've ever hoped for, everything they've longed for, everything they lived for. They're together now. You see, if you've lived for eternity, when you get there, it's going to be sweet because you will have thought about it deeply. You would have anticipated and you would remember streets of gold. You would remember the Lamb. You would remember all the saints. You would remember the thrones in the throne room. You go, where are we going next? It's like going to some big theme park, but it's not a theme park. It's your home. Okay. And everything around every corner just gets better. There's the crystal sea. There's the tree of life. There's God's face to behold, which angels can't even look upon. You and I get to go right up to the top because we're his children. We're his beloved son's bride, if you will. And it's all a celebration forever. Everlasting joy. Coming to a city where it's filled with the spirit of just men made perfect. What a good thing. Bible says in verse 24, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The significance of that is that when you're treating a scolio, person crooked and kind of messed up and unreasonable, when you're treating that person with grace, you're bearing their sin. You're bearing their sin. Your husband, your wife, something's hard, something's difficult. You say, I'm not going to put up with it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And Jesus didn't say that about you and me, did he? He said, I'm going to bear your sin. I'm going to take that. There's a passage in Romans 11. It talks about when things are hard, sometimes the root bears us and sometimes we bear the root. Which you could substitute the word root for cross. Sometimes you're bearing the cross and sometimes the cross is bearing you. Aren't you glad that your sins are on that cross? Aren't you glad that it was nailed right there and that all the ordinances and everything are there and it's all taken out of the way? Well, that's our job now, to show the world that our sins have been forgiven and our Savior is worthy and his praises are on our lips, even when it's not easy to have them there. If you've not had times in your own life where that's been true for you, I challenge you to just hold on a little while longer, because there will be times when you're going to be hurting and things are going to feel really destitute. And you know what you're going to find probably? It's a song. That'll help you focus. And that'll be the clarity. And then you're going to be remembering some verses once you get a little lift, because that's when you'll realize why that was important for you to be doing that all along. You practice your letters and then you start with your words, and then your words become lyrics and the lyrics become a song. you and I are on a journey. The Bible says, whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you're his child today, that's the goal. You're going to be like Jesus. I didn't say that. He did. Conformed to the image of his Son. The Bible goes on to say, he bare our sins in his own body. And that's what we have to do. The Bible says, in his own body on the tree, which means there was humiliation in doing it, because he was naked on the tree, he was beaten on the tree, he was bloodied on the tree, his insides were laid bare from a cat of nine tails, and he couldn't breathe without writhing like a serpent on that cross. It looked like he was a failure. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God it came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we, being now dead to sins, we were dead in sins, now we're dead to sin. You say, well, said it's dead to sin? What does that mean? That means it says death hath no more power over you, that you are completely free. A dead man cannot be affected by it anymore. You say, but I do feel affected when I sin. To be sure. That's the body of this death. In me, in my flesh, no good thing. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I'm carrying around a corpse. And if I pay much attention to the corpse, it will undo me. And that was the whole point of that kind of execution in Roman times. They would put a corpse on a man living, and it would drive him mad as it corrupted more and more. That's a difficulty. That's one you and I have to read more and read more and find out what he said. No temptation hath taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will with the temptation provide a way of escape. The Bible tells us very clearly that through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. And we understand. I'm never leaving. I'm a voice from behind. I'm with you. I'm with you. When the pestilence and at night, when the arrows are flying by the enemies, when the snares are laid, I'm with you. You begin to walk a little bit more intentionally when you realize that, because when you feed your spirit, you forget about the body of the death. That's a perfect man. Hard place to get. Bible says perfect man can control his tongue. That's a hard place to get, right? That's where you begin to see, because the wellspring of the heart is the tongue. Nope, he's telling us he committed himself to him that would judge righteously, and so he was able to bring along you and me, bearing in his body our sins, and it says that we should live unto righteousness. Righteousness. You say, well, I thought it was saved from sin. Well, that's right. But he didn't just let you there and say, there you go, bye. You got something to do now. You're called. You're called to show forth. You're called to show grace. You're called to walk in his footsteps. You're called to suffer. You say, I don't like suffering. That's no guile. I'm not telling you a lie. They hated me. They're going to hate you. They nailed me to the cross. They're going to try to get you too. And we see that, right? We see that. They shut down the churches for a season. They'd like to have seen them all shut down forever. And in fact, many did, because they were on fumes already. But now we are in a new time. We're in a new land. And he says, you're saved that you should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Now, when you read that, the charismatic folks like to say, well, there's your healing. You can have everything healed. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. What got healed in you and me was all the things he mentioned. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Amen? That is what it means to be healed. He doesn't mention your physical infirmities. There's coming a day, but you're in a body of sin. It's decaying. The outer man is perishing, but the inward man, the Bible says, is being renewed day by day. So anybody who goes through this thing called Christendom, and they think that they're going to have health and wealth and prosperity, they're set up in a perfect trifecta of misery, because the devil knows that ain't true, and he's happy that you think it is. Because you're going to get sick, your loved ones are going to die, and you're going to die, and things are going to be hard, and there's going to be setbacks, and if our economy keeps going the way it is, you're going to be a little hungry somewhere along the line. It ain't going to be a picnic. I have promises like this. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. But I also know, he says to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, he says, it's been granted unto you not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. Why? Because the Lord wants grace to be seen. What was the title of the message? This is grace. This is grace. And you show it to your world. If you suffer willingly, if you suffer patiently, if you suffer nobly, bearing in your body the sins of others, because you've understood that Jesus did that for you and you're willing to do that in his behalf for somebody else, showing them what they could not see because they don't know what you know. It's like you're looking over a hill, standing on Jesus' shoulder, and you're seeing the celestial city, and you're trying to help them realize there's something going on over here that is amazing. And all you can do is get under them. Because getting under them is what it's going to take. He bare our sins in his body on the tree that we should be living under righteousness. For we were as sheep going astray and are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The word for bishop is episkopos. It's the idea of overseer. You've heard of the Episcopal Church. It means overseer of your soul. So you don't have to worry about your stuff because he's worried about it. Think about that. If he's the overseer, stop worrying about you and start worrying about what is his. And his is this program of the rescue mission. For you and for me, we have this amazing calling on our lives. We're supposed to be a people of his own, people who love him. When he says earlier that we should pass this time in fear, I want you to understand that when he talks about fear, sometimes people look at that and say, well, you know, verse 18, serve your masters with fear. People think phobos means that we're supposed to walk around and pray to God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but they don't see the context, which actually implies it's just the beginning of wisdom. The beginning is hard. You're tapping out the notes. But the sonata comes when you've gotten used to it. And eventually you're enjoying the piano all the time, just like that with the Lord. The more you know, the freedom you have, the position you have, the calling you have, the future you have, the hope you have, the grace you have, you are complete in him. That's amazing stuff. And I don't know what more to say to us in this room but to say, listen, he's good. He can be trusted. And I speak to myself as well, because there's an insanity about sin. It gets the better of us. It buckles our knees. It makes us want to weep. Sometimes we feel depleted because we're physical creatures and what we need is a nap, not a wine session. We need to go find a pillow and repair. God loves you and he will never stop loving you. You can commit your soul to him who will do the right thing all the time. Never make a mistake. And this is why the world hates the believer. Because we do not feel like this is all that. We feel like this is kind of a problem. We're not antagonistic to it, but it certainly is antagonistic to us. So sometimes we fortify ourselves, sometimes we try to withhold, but the reality is that we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God, who has sure foundations that will last forever. And when he who comes will come and not tarry, we're going to be there seeing him come if we have that privilege. And I'm not so sure we're not going to see it soon. So keep your eyes on Jesus. And show the world around you grace. Let's do that, all right? Let's bow together for a moment. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.